What's up, America?
Here we go.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Mr. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Never get sick of that intro. I never get sick of that.
Start the show. Stop the lollygag.
Yes, sir. I'm going to put Tom Skelton in my avatar.
Yeah. I love it. Shout out to JQ for that, man. That's awesome. I like to hit the quam, and that's my favorite part right there, man. Because you got it cool. I got to come with something cool, man. That's what's up, man. Oh, America, welcome, of course, to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Today is, of course, a great day. Martin Luther King Day Jr. So we're just kind of basking in a great ambassador. Obviously, just an impactful gentleman as far as history. So a lot of love for that too. But we're honored, and it's a privilege to actually talk on this day. Once again, I want to throw it out to my co-host here. I'm Andre Peterson, obviously joined by my fellow co-host, Mr. JQ, Jaquan Jenkins. How you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, I'm good, man, because nothing says MLK Day like wall-to-wall NBA basketball. You know, I don't know if that's what he was doing it for, but that's where we are. But on a positive side note, I don't know if anybody out there has got a chance to view that video by Dame Lillard. That was very powerful by him releasing that today. You know, if you haven't heard it, go check it out. It's pretty good.
Nice. Love it, man. Thank you for that, too, JQ. This last but not least, I got to show a lot of love to my other co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. How you feeling this evening, sir?
And doing great. Spending MLK Day in the great city of Salt Lake City, checking on these Jazz fans, seeing if they think their team going to be able to hold that 8th spot in the West.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. I'm going to leave that one alone. I'm going to leave it alone.
Wow, man. A lot of love for you, sir. I don't know how to go. I feel like JQ. But, gentlemen, let's kind of get this show started. We got a lot of topics to discuss, a lot of fun things. Like we always like to do, we want to give you some numbers to call into the show. 424-243-9519. That's number one you want to call us. Give us your thoughts, feedback. That's important. We're also in the Twitter world. If you go to the number 12, THMAN Sports, that is our Twitter. And then last but not least, we're also on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/12thmansports, or if you put in Talking Sports from 12th Man, you will find this in that capacity as well. Gentlemen, let's kind of kick this party off. A lot of things to talk about. We're going to talk about some football here and wrap up some basketball as well. And let's kind of kick it off. Now, gentlemen, interesting game. Now, we're kind of coming off the news about Jared Allen. He's pretty doubtful right now with the Panthers. And I got to say, guys, whenever I first – was watching the game, and we were thinking 31-0. I thought it was going to be an intense blowout, but give credit to the Seattle Seahawks for actually kind of closing the gap and putting a little fear into that game. But I want to talk to you kind of first, Rob. Does this kind of affect the Panthers kind of standing here going against the Cardinals here right now with this particular matchup here?
Well, I still like Carolina in the game. Obviously, it doesn't look good for a guy like Jared Allen to play in this game, but I still like Carolina at home. When you look at that game, they obviously jumped off to a 31-0 lead. In Arizona, I think it's going to be tough for them to come on the road and win this game. I think Carolina is just a pumped opponent right now, and I think they're going to be tough to beat. I personally would like to see Arizona beat Carolina. Just for personal reasons, but I think Carolina is the better team. I think Carolina goes on to the Super Bowl with or without Jared Allen. I don't think it's going to be that big of a factor. But, yes, I agree with you. It was a great comeback by Seattle. It showed some of their championship experience, you know, not giving up in the second half. And a few plays here and there in the first half, Seattle could have had an opportunity to win that game. But, obviously, they put themselves in too big of a hole to come back down from 31-0, the interception return for a touchdown. And, of course, you know, going for it on fourth down where they could have got some points. Those things came back to haunt them in the end. and that was pretty much the difference of the game.
JQ, so Seattle sent some flowers to Blair Walsh. A little different scenario. What's your take on the Panthers here, sir?
Hey, my man Luke, Cincinnati stand up with that pick six. That really put them behind the eight ball in that game. I think it does, and I think Arizona wins. And I feel bad for Jared Allen. He spent so much time unable to get to this point in the playoffs, and he finally got a chance on a good team. And have to break his foot right now is devastating. But for the Panthers overall, I think it's a big blow because you got to remember they've lost Ben Wickery and they've lost Peanut Tillman in that secondary. And you know that Arizona with that deep wide receiving core is going to spread you out, and they're going to take shots. They're going to take a lot of shots in the game down the field. And you really just have Josh Norman out there right now. And if you saw Courtland Finnegan getting destroyed in that second half, I mean, they just went at him relentlessly. And I think that's what Arians is going to do. You saw a rebirth of Fitzgerald. You got Malcolm Floyd out there. You got Brown. I mean, you got a nice, you know, triumvirate of wide receivers for Arizona, and I think they're gonna bomb them, and I think Arizona's gonna go into Carolina and win.
Wow, right. Are we ready for predictions? Wow, so let's kind of kick it in. Yeah, we're kind of back to predictions point, and I gotta say, guys, this looks like we're gonna talk about the first game here. And is this true that these are? I think I heard a stat as far as they're the first two Heisman Trophy winners in a championship game. If I'm not mistaken, please. I thought I heard something about that. And Cam Newton and Carson Palmer, and please correct me if I'm wrong with that, guys. But let's talk about the predictions. Rob, you think JQ is kind of on point with this as far as the game? You know, do you think that's a good play? That's a good game plan, excuse me, from Bruce Arians?
Oh, obviously, you make some valid points, but I just think Carolina as a whole, they've been able to overcome so much this season. I think Cam Newton is obviously the MVP this season, and I think they're going to be able to take care of business at home. Personally, I would like to see Arizona to beat him. So personally, I would like to think that he would be right. I'm going to pick with my head here, and I think Carolina is going to. I think it's going to be a close game. I like Carolina prevailing in the end, similar to the way they beat Seattle, somewhere around the lines. I'm sorry, yeah, about 3 to 7 points.
JQ, here's your opportunity. So go ahead and talk about is this Rob kind of off his rocker, or are you pretty confident about this?
I think I'm pretty confident about it in the fact that just the way it matches up. You know, Seattle has tried to evolve into more of a passing team, and they had a setback with Graham getting hurt. And I just don't think their wide receiving core with Blair Baldwin is as good as the Arizona wide receiving core is. And it's also a matter of play calling. And if you watch Bruce Arians, he is a spread you out. I'm going to run with David Johnson, but I'm going to bomb you. And I'm going to take, you know, multiple shots down the field. And I'm not talking about 10, 12 yards. I'm talking 30, 40 yards down the field. And you don't really have to go at Josh Norman. I mean, you got the other two guys. And like I said, that Carolina secondary now has taken a big hit. And you lose Allen. So now Carson Palmer is going to have more time in the pocket. So if you have your secondary being hurt, but you can rush the passer, you can make up for those deficiencies by getting to the passer a lot sooner. But without Jared Allen, I mean, I like Kevon Short pushing the pocket up the middle. He's going to have to be a man to make up for that loss of Jared Allen. But I just think that I love Bruce Arians' mentality and the way he's going for it. And I think that's going to be the difference in the game is Carson Palmer going deep and exposing that secondary.
I got you.
I was hoping you were going to be right with Seattle. And it didn't turn out, so I'm hoping you're right this week.
Yeah, I got to be right one time.
I love it. Good call. So this is my thing. I'm kind of leaning with Robert on this, JQ, even though I'm a huge fan of Bruce Arians. I definitely like his mentality, like you said. I just kind of think kind of Rob that this is kind of the Panthers' year. They have overcome so much, and if you're looking at the game versus, you know, Seattle, you're thinking in your head, I mean, seriously, guys, all that Carolina has pretty much is Greg Olsen. Maybe a kind of a, you know, kind of hot and cold Ted Ginn. They didn't really have a lot of receivers. But yet still, Greg Olsen was still going nuts, man. Cam, they had just enough running game. And, you know, that defense, guys, I don't think they're going to have enough time to kind of sit back there and bomb them. I think, you know, Carolina Panthers, and I know we talked about Jared Allen, but I still think, you know, they kind of got him late in the year. They're still able to get some push. They got a really good defense, man. So I think it's going to be a really good game. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. That, you know, Seattle kind of pulled it out like the last game. But you know, I kind of think that it's going to be, you know, if Carolina's going to pull out, they're kind of a team of destiny, if you will. So that's just me. And I'm still, like, tripping out that, like you said, they don't have any weapons. But Cam is just kind of doing his thing, man. So that's me. I think it's going to be close. But that's kind of what I'm thinking is going to happen as well. So sorry, Rob, on that. I do think they're going to come out ahead in that particular instance.
Well, yeah, I think you have to give Mike Shula a lot of credit, too, the Panthers offensive coordinator. I think, you know, with their lack of weapons, I think he's been doing a phenomenal job with their game plan this season. Also, you got to give Cam Newton, of course, a lot of credit to be able to overcome those weapons. And a lot of times, your quarterback can make your weapons. And he's done a phenomenal job this season with utilizing what he's had. And, you know, Ted Ginn Jr., you know that as well as anyone, JQ, following Ohio State. The guy still can run like a deer.
He can
still get behind the defense, but sometimes he has a tendency to drop the football. But if he catches it, ain't nobody can catch
him. Yeah, but the only thing about that is he's going to get Patrick Peterson on him. And the other thing about Seattle with Greg Olsen, they have been a sieve all year against the tight end because Cam Chancellor is more of a thumper. He's not really great in covers. If you can get the tight end on Cam Chancellor, he's been exposed. Greg Olsen and Eichmann for Cincinnati, it's been a lot of tight ends that have lit him up. I think Arizona's ability, even without Matthew, to cover the tight end a little better is going to be a bigger difference in that game. But, you know, it wasn't necessarily surprised me if Carolina won, but I'm just looking at the losses they have on that defense and the way that Arizona plays offense with that aggressive mentality is the reason why I go down that train of thought.
It's going to be a good game. I mean, like I said, it can go either or, literally. So, like I said, I'm kind of leaning towards that just because, I mean, we've all been wrong, obviously, but, you know, and that's why we watch the games, too. But it's going to be interesting to say this. It does kind of seem like no matter what happens, they just keep winning. So, you know, it's interesting to say the least. On another side note, this is definitely on the tangent. I was watching kind of a replay, guys, with I think it was Arizona, and they were I can't remember the championship game, but Beanie Wells was in the game. JQ, whatever happened to Beanie Wells? And you can answer too, Rob. What did he just kind of fall out the league? Did he get hurt? I mean, what happened to him? I mean, that was he was playing. I'm like, oh man, I forgot about Beanie Wells. What did he kind of
get
injured and didn't? Yeah, is that it? And he's kind of like dropped off out of the league.
Yeah, he never recovered from that injury either.
I want to say it was his knee injury, and he never recovered.
I think it was Cardinals versus. I remember it was like a championship game. I was watching that. And it was like a replay.
It was a late first round pick too.
It was just one of those. Oh man! All right. I just didn't know because I remember seeing that game too. It's going to be a good game. All right, let's kind of switch gears here. Let's talk about the next game. You got the Patriots versus the Broncos. Guys, both sets of games are 1-2 seeds here. Great game last week. I love the mentality. It was a lot closer than expected because we thought that the Broncos were going to run up and down on them, but it was actually a pretty competitive game. The Broncos kind of pulled away late. With that fumble that was picked up by Toussaint, I want to say, from the Steelers. I love how Big Ben first play kind of throws it deep. Like, ain't nothing wrong with me, guys, you know? So,
right.
But still, Tlaib played a game of his life. Just kind of a really, really good game. Any thoughts on that? I'm going to kick it to you, JQ, about the game in general. Your thoughts about that?
So I know I'm tripping because I'm going to go with both road teams, both two seeds. But when I saw out of Peyton and they tried to make it out to be the win was definitely a factor in that game, especially if you saw the kicking game. But you also saw Big Ben really not have too much of a problem with the win, even though he had a really bad shoulder with torn ligaments in it. And you saw Peyton's balls just fluttering. And if Peyton throws the ball like that, if they get any bad win and he throws the ball like that against New England, they're going to be in trouble. I don't like the Patriots, but you got to give respect to that Brady-Belichick tandem, and they just are finding ways to win games. And Peyton may be able to keep it closer with his mind, being able to get Denver into better plays, you know, Osmond out of a run to a pass and vice versa. But, you know, for the most part, Tom Brady has really kind of given it to Peyton, and not always in the playoffs, but overall in their meetings. And I just don't think Peyton has enough zip on the ball down the field. I think the Patriots see that if you can guard that 0 to 15-yard area, he's okay in that area, but he can't really push the ball down the field. And I think that's really going to be what it is. And from New England side, you know, they got to deal with Gronkowski. Edelman was back. You know, he had a little rust, but now he's had a game to knock some of that rust off. And then and then James White out of the backfield on those checkdowns as well. I think it's a close game. I can see either team winning by, like, you know, 3 to 6 points. But I'm going to go with the Patriots just because I just don't trust Peyton's arm strength.
Yeah, Rob, so I'm going to kick it to you. And it's interesting because I think you nailed it, JQ. I think, what is it, Brady is like 11. He's won 11 to 5 versus the matchup.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that he's accurate, Rob, in that his arm strength looked really bad in the game, and the defense bailed him out again. I don't know if the Patriots are hurt enough, but can they pull this out, or is it kind of a situation where you got defense versus offense here, Rob? I'll kick it to you, sir.
Well, you're exactly right, Peyton Manning's arm strength. He hasn't looked good all season. Not just in the game this past week.
Yeah.
And I just can't see Denver winning this game at all. You look at the Patriots, Tom Brady's got his full slew of weapons. He's got Edelman. He's got Gronkowski. I just can't see them losing this game. Even though it's on the road at Denver, I have to go with the Patriots as well. And I can see them winning this game by about 7 to 10 points. If Denver's going to have any chance of winning this game, their defense is going to have to be phenomenal. They're going to have to put a lot of pressure on Brady. Of course, the Patriots have gotten some of their offensive line back, too, so they're getting a little bit healthy there, too. So it's going to help them with the pass protection, and which it did against the Chiefs as well. And so I just can't see the Patriots going on the road and losing this game. I just think the quarterback position is going to be a liability for the Broncos in this football game.
And and just one side point, and that Denver defense is really good, but we watched that game. There were times that Steelers wide receivers without Antonio Brown were wide open. I mean, Martavis Bryant is good, but he's young. You know, Sammy Coates pulling him off the heap, and he's coming in, and he's having a big day. So if you're going to do that, and then you're going to give me Edelman and Gronkowski with Tom Brady and with Peyton's arm strength, I just, you know, I would like to see Peyton Manning go out a la, you know, John Elway, but I just, with his arm strength, I just can't in my, you know, objective mind say that.
Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just saying I totally agree. I'm picking against both teams I would like to see win. I would like to see Arizona win these games. But, I just think Carolina and New England are the better teams and, you know, have the better matchups in both of these games. But I would certainly like to see Peyton Manning win, too. Because you can obviously see this has got to be his last season. At least I would hope so. He's got to go out with Kobe right now.
Yeah, we got 12 minutes, guys. I agree with you both. I think they're going to, like, you know, shorten up the routes, kind of like sit in those and then make him beat them deep. And I don't think he's going to be able to do it, guys. So,
at that game, just, if Toussaint doesn't fumble that ball, the Steelers could very easily be playing this weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a big turning point in that game. The Steelers was driving for another score. They had a 1-point lead at the time. That was a big turning point in that game.
Yeah, like that. Like I said, I think the defense bailed them out. And like you said, JQ, it just doesn't look like, you know, his strength is kicking, man. So it's going to be interesting. We'll see how that, if anything changes so far here. But, yeah. All right, gentlemen. There's been a lot of coaching moves that happened over the past couple of days here. And let's kind of kick it off with the Eagles reaching out to Doug Peterson. If I'm not mistaken, he was the quarterback coach for Donovan McNabb, too. So that's kind of an interesting move, guys, kind of bringing back a symbol to that. I'm going to kick it off with you, Rob. Is this a good move, getting Doug Peterson to kind of come back to the Chiefs? From the Chiefs to the Eagles?
I think it's kind of hard to say if it's a good or a bad move. I think we have to just kind of wait and see. Obviously, the Eagles are very familiar with them, and I think that's one of the reasons why they were high on him. Obviously, he coached under Andy Reid for several years there in Philadelphia as a quarterback coach. He was also a quarterback on the Eagles roster going back in 1998. So he's got he spent a lot of time in the Eagles organization. So obviously, Jeffrey Lurie, the general manager there, they were high on him from the jump. He was a leading candidate from the jump. Only other person that they were possibly looking into was Tom Coughlin. And they kind of got in bed a little bit with Ben McAdoo as well. But this was the guy they were kind of high on from the jump. And like I said, obviously familiarity played a lot in this decision. I think he did a solid job with what he had with the Chiefs. You know, Alex Smith, for the most part, is an average NFL quarterback, and they had a successful season. So we'll have to wait and see how things go.
JQ, man, did Doug Peterson have pictures or something like that? Kicking it to you, sir.
Yeah, you know, I find it hilarious that the guy they ran out of town, and Andy Reid, they went and got the dude that's the offensive coordinator and pulled him back. I find that to be real interesting for the Eagles. And to Rob's point, I read something that was a little conflicting with that. I heard that they really were on Tom Coughlin, but he didn't want to have to assemble a new staff and go through that again at age 70, so he pulled himself out of it. And then McAdoo was on his way to Philadelphia to be interviewed and possibly hired, and the Giants didn't let him get out the building. They said, okay, no, you know, we're swinging and missing. We need to keep this guy in-house. From what I talked about last week, is they don't want Eli Manning to have to learn another offense this year when he was just starting to look really good with McAdoo. So I don't think it's a panic move, and I agree that we just don't have enough, you know, data to say whether or not it's going to be a good or a bad decision. I just find it interesting they went and got Andy Reid's offensive coordinator, considering they ran him out on the rail in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I think it's one of those kind of things. You be careful what you wish for. Sometimes they probably wish that they still had Andy Reid.
Right.
So now they're trying to bring somebody that's similar to him.
Exactly.
After the situation with Chip Kelly, and in my opinion, it's not that Chip Kelly was a bad coach. He just made some bonehead decisions as far as personnel was concerned. I think you just have to pull the general manager duties away from him. Because when you look at his record, he had two winning seasons, his first two seasons in Philly. And he had a losing record
down.
His third season. Yeah.
After he got the GM duties, it went down, exactly.
Exactly.
I like it, gentlemen. It does seem like they're kind of conceding, like, oh, man, we made a mistake. We should have maybe we moved too quickly there. They tried to, like, go totally different. And, yeah, sometimes familiarity is kind of a comfort zone thing. So, yeah, we will definitely see about that. Let's keep moving here. Speaking of the aforementioned Chip Kelly, the 49ers actually hired him. My father-in-law, gentleman, is not happy about this move. He thought that he's trying to get David Shaw from Stanford. He is upset about this. So the big question is, Colin Kaepernick saved, I guess, and is this a good move from the 49ers perspective? Because we were thinking that, I know Rob said this, that he kind of cooled off, but I'm sure Chip maybe learned a couple things besides, you know, going for all Oregon players. But, is this a good move? JQ, I'm going to kick it off with you first and foremost there.
Yeah, and I mean, bless Blaine Gabbert, so he did what he could do last year. But I think this is all about Colin Kaepernick. I really do. And, from stories I've read, I heard that when Chip Kelly got fired, if he thought he was going to get another NFL job, and he was trying to find a way to get Colin Kaepernick to whatever destination he possibly was going to go to. So I think this is about I think this is about that matchup, this pairing rather, and seeing if he can make that work and if he can salvage Colin Kaepernick's career. Because you know they have a team friendly contract with Kaepernick. We've talked about he's got that Kaepernick has that Dalton kind of contract where they gave him the money up front, but they can get away from it after like 2 or 3 years. But I think they want Colin Kaepernick to succeed. And on a side note, did you see that all of Colin Kaepernick's jerseys that were on heavy discount got pushed back to full price on everything, on all the San Francisco sites. So that lets me know this is about these two trying to make that work and see if they can salvage. Because you saw glimpses with Kaepernick of what he could do, and then he fell by the wayside with all the turmoil with the Harbaugh issue. So I think this is about Kaepernick and Kelly, you know, the two Ks, and see if they can bring San Francisco back. And I don't think David Shaw was ever leaving Stanford. I don't think he was ever leaving Stanford.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry for
the
bottom
line.
He's got to think of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had big dreams about that, but I was just telling him, he was upset. He's like, we got to get David Shaw. I'm like, yeah. Rob, your thoughts, because, you know, now I got to get some – can I get some love, guys, too? Because I remember I was talking about this, like, you know, that could be a move. So
you
I
did.
Got some love. Go
two,
ahead,
two.
Rob. Woo-hoo. Yep.
I'm going to give a quick 2 cents on David Shaw. I'm surprised that more NFL GMs are not knocking on his door, because I think he's will be a great NFL head coach. He runs a pro-style offense there at Stanford, runs a pro-style system there, and I'm still surprised that NFL GMs are not knocking on his door, at least trying to fill him out to see if he's interested.
They are.
So I totally agree. But it's not too heavy. They've tried here a little bit, but they haven't really, like, sat down, serious interviews, contacted the school. It's been very lukewarm. It hasn't been very serious yet, and I'm still very surprised by that. I think he'd be a great candidate. I think if somebody really goes after him, they can pull him away from Stanford. But I don't think
they tried. I've heard they tried. Yeah. He just been rebuffing.
Not very seriously.
He's not doing
it. It hasn't been that heavy yet.
Okay.
So it hasn't. It's been very lukewarm, and I'm surprised that teams have not gone after him real heavy yet. And so I still think somebody with the right offer can pull him away from Stanford, similar to the way they did with Jim Harbaugh. But getting back to Chip Kelly, obviously with Kaepernick, this is on paper looks like it's going to be a great fit. And so we have to wait and see, you know, if it really is. But on paper, it looked like he'd be the perfect for the spread offense that Kelly wants to run. So we'll have to, you know, wait and see. I think if I'm the 49ers, I'm still possibly looking at a quarterback in this draft. But, you know, they've obviously given Kaepernick a nice contract. And they want to see him succeed, obviously. So on paper, it looks like a good fit. I think if you'd went to the 49ers or if you went to the Titans for Mariota, those could have been that could have been another good fit for him as well.
Yeah, the Titans, bless them. How to keep Mike Malarkey and what to tell me, I'll never understand. I just don't understand that one.
Yeah, well, I think Mike Malarkey's philosophies are okay. Like, he wants to protect the quarterback. He wants to run the ball, have a strong offensive line, and then kind of not put too much pressure on him. So I think the philosophy is good. But, you know, like I said, we'll see how that plays out, if it's actually good for the long run. Just to kind of piggyback on what you said, Rob, in that, you know, you talk about like a perfect scenario. I think with Chip Kelly, you know, the 49ers, they realized they made a mistake. You know, Jim Tomsula, he wasn't going to fool anyone with his offensive prowess. So now you get a guy in there that knows offense. Maybe they're going to, like you said, Rob, save his career, you know, save Kaepernick's career. So this is an opportunity for him. And great call, JQ, too, about the jersey. That's awesome. So now maybe you fix that problem. You know, Rob, you may be correct. Maybe you're getting somebody for the future, too. But let's see how this works. Chip Kelly has been humbled. He's not going to get the GM controls, you know, like he had. So you're going to have to work with you know, Chip Baki, whatever it is, to kind of make this team work. Because defensively, you're there, right? I think you got a couple pieces. You can kind of get away with some things. Just fix that offense, and, you know, they can make some strides here, right? Is that correct?
Well, they're aging in the secondary a little bit, so they're going to have to take care of that
department.
They're going to have to get a little younger in the secondary. They're getting a little long in the tooth in that department, so they're going to have to fix that.
And one quick side note, I think for Chip Kelly, which was very intelligent, he's keeping Eric Mangini as a defensive coordinator. I think that was very
smart. I thought that was a good move.
Good call.
I don't think they should invest
in
a quarterback in the first round. But, you know, maybe in the mid-round or something like that, you know, someone who can possibly run the spread, but definitely not in the first round. Right now I have them taking Laquan Treadwell from Ole Miss, which I think would be a beast of a weapon if they can get him at number 7.
Yeah.
Good call. That's funny. My father-in-law wants a quarterback, and I'm like, yeah, well, that was in a different regime. So now I was like, yeah, you're not even getting a quarterback anymore, man. So, you know, we'll talk about draft talk here. Rob, we got about a minute 50 here. Can you go and set us up for the OT portion, and we'll kind of keep this conversation going?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you are listening currently, unfortunately, we can't give you the OT portion live, so definitely click on the same link on tomorrow. We still got some more football to cover. Still got a little NBA and college to get into as well, college basketball, that is. So definitely stay tuned. Click on the same link on tomorrow while you're driving, sitting down, eating lunch. When you're sneaking away from work a little bit, click on the same link and definitely listen to the greatest sports talk host on the planet. Also, next week we'll be on Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. For my friends here in Salt Lake City, it'll be 9 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And for our friends in San Francisco and Los Angeles, it'll be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on next Monday night. So you definitely don't want to miss us as we get you prepared for the Super Bowl next week. Good night, people.
JQ.
Stay classy as always, San Diego. Keep that team. Build a stadium.
Look at JQ.
Good luck.
Did it out perfectly.
Good luck, San Diego.
You know, I hope they keep, you know, we're going to talk about the stadium too, man. I hope it doesn't make all these switches, man, because that's pretty disappointing for sure, man. But, and I feel for the city of St. Louis, man, losing the Cardinals and now the Rams here, man. But, oh, man. All right, gentlemen. As we get ready to kick off the OT portion here. So, Rob, I guess, did the Rams make the right decision going to L.A.? What are your thoughts?
Well, from a financial standpoint, long term, the answer will be yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I still hate to see, you know, what happened to the fans there in St. Louis. I really do. I have some friends in that city that were Ram fans, and, you know, they had a lot of years of success and even some lean years where their fans still supported them. And so that's a little disappointing. But the Los Angeles market, of course, but when you really look at the Los Angeles market, too, the NFL has failed there with several teams. The Chargers, mm-hmm. they started in Los Angeles. The Raiders have gone there and failed, moved back to Oakland. The Rams have failed there and moved out. So there's so many failures with the NFL in Los Angeles. Now, this stadium that they're building is going to be a $1.9 billion state-of-the-art facility. They're going to try to get the Rose Bowl to start playing their games there. They're going to try to hold Super Bowls, of course. So there's a lot of financial impact that Stan Kroenke is going to have with this particular stadium in Los Angeles. He'll be able to host a lot of events in Los Angeles, which is, of course, Hollywood. But for some reason, the fans there have just not supported NFL franchises over the years. I don't know if it's because so much to do in Hollywood. It's mm-hmm. always will be a Lakers town first. And so, you know, we have to wait and see. But financially, obviously, the second largest market in the country, there's so much financial potential there in Los Angeles. And he took a $550 million relocation hit, too. So he's really investing.
Yes, sir.
I hate this move. Go ahead, JQ. I hate this move. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, and to piggyback on what I was talking about, there also what I've read is that they're going to also, for the NFL Network, those studios are also going to be a part of that complex. And also I think for NFL Films is also going to be there. So this is huge for him financially. And I think there's a pocket of Rams fans that were there. But part of the reason why it fails is because, like you said, there's so much to do in Los Angeles. And plus, Los Angeles is a huge transplant city where everybody's going to make their dreams come true. And they're from everywhere mm-hmm. across the country. And you just don't have that dedicated fan base like you did in St. Louis. And I spent about a year in St. Louis a couple of years ago on a project, and I was there Monday through Friday. So I was basically living in St. Louis for a year. And in the stadium, I didn't get a chance to go in. But around the stadium, there's a nice casino. There's a nice little area to hang out. I had a lot of friends there, and I know I texted one of them and said, "How you doing?" He said, "I don't even want to talk about it. I'm from Kansas City now." So that just gives you insight into, how they're feeling in St. Louis. So I feel bad for them. But for Kroenke, for his bottom line, I think it works. But, you know, it's going to make one side happy. It's going to make the other side sad. So we'll see if it'll work out. But like Rob talked about, it's failed so many times. But, you know, the NFL just wants more money. And when you have, you know, that kind of market, you have to keep trying, I guess, is their philosophy.
I think that another thing that kind of hurts is that Kroenke is a Missouri man, and he promised to keep the team there, and now he's taking them out of Dodge. So,
but you knew he was going to.
If I was a local there in Missouri, you really have to feel hurt that a local, you would think an outsider would buy the Rams and would move them, but for a local to move them to L.A., that really has got to be a punch in the stomach.
Yeah, but the thing about it is he's been talking about building this complex since he bought the team, for one. And for two, every time they've had the stadium discussions in St. Louis or they tried to talk to him, he hasn't talked to anybody. Like, he didn't talk to anybody in the St. Louis government. He wasn't talking to the fans. Like, when your owner gives you the cold shoulder and he already has plans to build this site up in Los Angeles and he's not talking to you, the writing's been on the wall for so long. It was just whether or not his proposal will win out over the San Diego / Oakland proposal.
Yeah, guys, I think the bottom line is this is all about money, and I hate this move.
Yep.
I really hate it. And that's kind of just, you know, another reason. I know Rob is a huge fan of Roger Goodell. This kind of shows he's getting the ultimate money, man. This is clearly a money play move. You know, like you said, it sickens me to that effect because, you know, I think bottom line is that it could have been worked out if you really wanted to, but just strictly money. I hope it fails again, honestly, so that, you know, I don't know.
Wow.
I'm really upset. Sure, I mean, I'm like, I got friends on both sides. I know that St. Louis is a big baseball town with the Cardinals, but you know, like you said, JQ, it's a dedicated fan base. LA, you don't even know. I mean, you know, you get transplants, you know, it's a terrible situation. Roger Dale wanted to get money in his pocket and everything, so I hope it fails again. That's just me. I'm sorry to say that. I'm sorry. I'm really upset about this, you know. honestly. But,
well,
you know.
And when you look at the St. Louis politicians there, they stepped up to the plate and was going to – they had about over $1 billion to build the new stadium, but they stepped up a little too late. And I didn't. Mm-hmm. I don't think Kroenke trusted them. But they did come up with the money to go ahead and build the new stadium. And but Kroenke mm-hmm. still wanted Los Angeles.
Yeah, and, you know, just sorry, so before you go to Ron Rivera, the thing about it is, in his proposal, he said that St. Louis was a two-sport town with the Cardinals and the Blues. And I said, okay, buddy, I'll give you the Cardinals. But in no way, shape, or form is St. Louis a Blues town over a Rams town. I mean, St. Louis is – come on. Stop it. You just wanted to move. Just say I wanted to move. You know, come on.
Yeah.
The Blues
yeah,
over the Cardinals, Rams – come on.
Yeah.
He's willing to invest $550 million of his own money to relocate and build a $1.9 billion stadium out of his own pocket. Obviously, he thinks there's going to be some financial riches. Well, the city of St. Louis was going to build the stadium for him with their money.
which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it fails, honestly, guys. That's just me, Andre. We got about 10 minutes here. You have no idea how much I hope it fails. I'm going to wait for that. All right, gentlemen, I can't believe we even got to talk about this. Ron Rivera bans hoverboards for Panthers players. This is a freaking common sense move. Rob, go ahead, man. What the French toast? Go ahead, sir.
Well, I mean, it's crazy as it is. I think it's a very smart move by Ron Rivera because, obviously, you're playing for an opportunity to possibly win a Super Bowl, and you don't want to have any guys to get hurt and have a stupid accident. And, you know, as crazy as I've seen, you've seen crazy accidents with these hoverboards all over the country. Just look at the internet. You want to stay away from it. Those things are catching on fire, everything exploding, Mike Tyson falling off of them.
But the thing about it is, so, these fools are drag racing in the conflict.
Yeah, they're drag racing in the conflict.
I mean, what are you doing? You can't be drag racing in the complex on the hoverboard. I mean, come on. I mean, the thing about them exploding, those are mostly the knockoffs. These dudes are multimillionaires. They have the top of the line thing. So the exploding piece of it, I get you, but that's probably not going to happen mm-hmm. to theirs. But you can't be drag racing down the hallway by the coach's office. What are you doing?
But they're still at risk because they're all operated by lithium batteries, whether they're knockoffs or not knockoffs. And anytime you're dealing with lithium batteries, they can explode.
That's true. But, they're probably in there gambling thousands, but who's going to drag race down the hallway? I mean, come on, man. That's just so out there.
Oh, my God. It's crazy. I understand the whole thing. Keeping the team loose and whatnot, but this is – you can't – you got to – you're the, like you said, you're trying to win a championship here, man. Come on. craziness. All right. Gentlemen, let's switch some gears here. We would not be remiss if we get a chance to talk about Kemba Walker. 52 points, JQ. Holy crap, man. What's up with that?
Oh, man, listen, we had that conversation earlier on the text message, and I picked him up later in the draft, and I saw that today and said, yes, Ohio players, let's get it. Kemba Walker, I mean, he always has the potential. He's always been a scorer. He's just a little undersized, and you can, you know, take advantage of him a little bit on the defensive end. But the dude could always put the ball in the basket, and he absolutely put on his show today. You know, you got to take your hats off to him. He's trying to get some of my money out of MJ, like, you know, put me on the team, coach, put me on the jump man. I just mm-hmm. hats off to him. That's an amazing performance.
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely. Career high, of course. A big win. As I mentioned earlier, I'm here in Salt Lake City, and Charlotte beat the Jazz, so the fans here locally are not too happy about that. but it's a great performance by Kemba Walker. What else can you say?
Yeah.
Mm. All right, let's do this quick recap. Gentlemen, I had some Cleveland fans. They were sick, literally sick. Warriors 132, Cavaliers 98. The Cavaliers trailed by as many as 43 points. What the French toast happened? I got to go to my Ohio native up there. What happened, JQ?
Well, you know, I'm not a big Cavs fan. I just never have been. But this is one of those games that they circled on the calendar, both of them. They can say, you know, this is just another game in the 82-game schedule. It's not. You know, this is a finals rematch, and this is a team that you probably are going to see again if you're Golden State. You're thinking, I'm going to win the West, and we're looking at who's going to come out the East. It's probably going to be the Cavs. And they went in there and showed them, hey, we still are those guys, and you're going to have a tough road. I don't care who you put on your team at this point because you can't get everybody because there's a salary cap. and we're deep and we know what we're going to do to you and we're going to execute. When they come out to play like that, listen, this, I don't know if there's anybody that can beat the Warriors when they come out and shoot like that, because they just are so efficient and so deep as a team that you can't just say, okay, I'm going to stop Curry, because then, you know, other people are going to go off. And Draymond is the, you know, the heart and soul of that team, with his energy and his trash talk and all that other good stuff and his performance. So I think it's just the Warriors saying, we are still those, we still them boys like Wiz Khalifa, and they came to Cleveland.
Rob, yeah, your thoughts, sir.
Well, last I checked, three counts more than two. And yeah. When you're trading threes for twos, you don't have a chance. Golden State come down, knock down threes, you go down the other end, you hitting twos. That's just not going to add up against Golden State. And they move the ball so well. And their small ball lineup is just one of the best they've ever seen. You, in order to beat them, you have to be, you have to play small ball. And there's not too many teams in the league that can match up with that small ball system. And they move the ball so well. LeBron James is to walk the ball down the court and post up, pass out of that. You know, and the Golden State was, they knew what Cleveland was coming down the court to do. And they were feeding off of it. Defensively, they was pushing the pace up and down the court. And you have to have some kind of a small ball lineup. And Cleveland has got a lot of bigs. They got Tristan Thompson. Yeah. They got Kevin Love. They got Mozgov. They got Aaron Shavarajal. So when you're playing Golden State, that's four players that become useless on your roster.
Yep.
Kevin Love, when he had 3 points and six rebounds tonight. You have to – LeBron James almost has to be a center playing against Golden State. And they have to figure out a way how they can play. I thought they had a chance tonight because I saw the game on Christmas and I thought Cleveland played them really tough at Golden State. But Golden State came out tonight on the mission, and I think they're in Cleveland's heads.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
You are right, man. So right now, that record looks definitely – I didn't think it can actually happen, but I'm starting to become a believer, gentlemen, that, you know, that Golden State could be right on that cusp as well. Gentlemen, we got 3 minutes here, so really quickly – Rob, you got 30 seconds here to do like your fantasy basketball shout outs, and we'll talk about Oklahoma and wrap up the show.
Fantasy basketball shout outs. Saints Pelicans 23, Ronald from New Orleans still holding down first place. He also had a 7-1 victory over the Champions here. Also, Pastor Rock from New Orleans also had a 7-1 victory over the Droop. And also, yours truly had a 7-1 victory over my co host, Andre, triple double. And those are all your fantasy shout-outs. Those are the biggest winners and first place in fantasy basketball so far this week.
Yeah, Rob is beating up on the chair lately. I don't like it.
But I'm still staying in second place. I got to get past St. Pelican 23. And the thing about it is we have the same amount of wins, but I have two more losses than he has because he has two ties. That's the difference in our records.
Yeah, it is.
2 minutes, gentlemen. Really quickly, I guess, do you want to talk about Oklahoma going number one, JQ?
Not really. There's really no dominant team. And I think you're going to just have a revolving door at number one this year. I really do. You're going to have multiple teams come in and out of that because, for the most part, I think anybody can be anybody. It's going to make for a fascinating March Madness.
Rob?
Well, yeah, Iowa State upset him tonight, too. So, I mean, Buddy Hield is a heck of a player for Oklahoma. He can get his lights out. But Iowa State, Georgia's knee injury, I tell you, another good post player. And Iowa State was a team I thought had a good chance of making it to the Final Four this year. Their top six is as good as anybody in the country, but they don't have the depth like they had last year. So they may struggle, but they took care of business. They beat Oklahoma at home tonight. I may sound a little biased, but I think when it's all said and done, I think North Carolina right now is the best team in the country. And I think when it's all said and done, they'll win a championship too.
This guy.
Yeah, you sound biased, bro. Yeah, you probably. I
call it the way I see it. Well, you know, I would like to see LSU there, but they just don't have it.
Carolina's
playing the best ball in the country right now.
Yeah, that's what I said. Come on, buddy.
Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure sharing the field of battle with you guys tonight. JQ, end the show for us really quickly, sir.
Oh, man, I appreciate everybody giving us the love. Call in as usual, download the podcast. We're going to try to keep all the topics relevant and hot and have a little fun, some comedy will go along with it. Enjoy your MLK Day. Hope you guys can do some service, and I'll talk to you next Monday.
Rob Ford.
Good night, people. Join us next Monday once again, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Pacific. Don't want to miss us as we recap Championship Sunday, getting you ready.